Hey, well, it's finally Thanksgiving week, and that means for the teachers and for the students in here, you made it. Congratulations. I know I have a teacher in my house. Obviously, my wife teaches, and so we have had like a countdown going on. We do for like every holiday, so like this is like the mini holiday, and then there's a longer one called Christmas, but we can't talk about that yet, even though Christmas music is going on before we've eaten turkey, which is like totally sacrilegious. I don't know what's up with that, but anyway, you made it. For the others of us, Thanksgiving. Some of us might be off a little bit this week, maybe on Thanksgiving Day, hopefully. We get to watch a lot of football, eat a lot of food. But if we're really honest, sometimes a holiday and Thanksgiving week doesn't mean we really get a lot of rest. It's not always restful. It's one of those things where for so many of us, some of the people here at the Fountain are already traveling. Some of you might be traveling sometime this week to go see certain people. Some of us are more active in holiday seasons. We travel around to see certain people and stuff like that. Or maybe for you, the busyness is that you have to make all these, preparing the meal, making preparations for the perfect Thanksgiving meal. You know, you see this picture of what you want it to look like on this Martha Stewart cookbook, and you're like, that is going to be it. That's going to be the dessert that is going to make all my family go wild. And you do it, and it turns out to look more like a Pinterest fail, and you're like, oh, next year, right? All of us are busy in some kind of way in this season, and the holidays, in so many ways, especially Thanksgiving, it has a way of showing and reminding us of certain things in our life that are going really well. In fact, we can be really thankful for. For my family, one of the things that we do, maybe you do this, it's a little corny, but we go around the Thanksgiving table, and we go around, and when I was little, it was like my parents made us say what we were thankful for. Now it's kind of like, we'll make a joke about it, but we'll go around, and we'll say something we're thankful for, and so it'll be going really good, and somebody will say, I'm thankful for my smelly brother and his stinky feet, or something like that. So we'll make a joke, but anyway, it really shows us some things that we can be thankful for and things that are going well, but the holidays also have another side to it, and it's a side where oftentimes it can kind of remind us or expose some other areas that are maybe not quite the way we want them to be. And for so many times in Thanksgiving and holidays, we look around the table and there's somebody that's not there that is usually there, or there's something that's maybe going on, and it's a reminder of like, man, I'm thankful, but yet there's something missing, like there's a yearning for something different. And so in the middle of all that, we're continuing this series called Give It a Rest. Give It a Rest. It's this upside down, one of the most upside down Jesus teachings, I believe, in the middle of such a busy, chaotic season, where Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, verse 28 and verse of chapter 11, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And so what we've been talking about is how the rest that Jesus gives isn't just like he gives us some sleep, right? Jesus wants to give us a rest that's a different kind of rest. A rest that comes from the heart of our good, good Father. A rest that can sustain us and satisfy and fill us like nothing on this earth can. And so in week one, we talked about how Jesus wants to give us rest from our pace. And some of us, like, we're so thankful for that because some of us are like the Energizer Bunny that we talked about, right? And we talked about how we're not made to just keep going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny, but instead how God gives us this blessing in our lives called Sabbath. It's this invitation that we don't have to live our lives going constantly over and over and over, more and more and more, that God says, hey, I want you to, just like I created the world in 6 days and I rested on the seventh, here's how I want you to live. As a blessing for your life, work really, really hard. But I want you to change your pace. And I want you to take at least one day a week where you can stop. That's what Sabbath means, to cease, to stop from working. So take one day a week where you cease, where you stop from all of your work so that you can rest, so that you can worship and remember God, and so you can just enjoy your life. And so this is what we talked about the first week. And then last week we talked about how Jesus wants to give us rest from this feeling that we constantly have to produce. Some of us, we feel like that in our career, in our life. There's always more required of us. Like, we've got to accomplish so much. Like, if I don't accomplish this, then what's going to happen? And so we talked about how, in a lot of ways, there's this belief that, we're only as good as our last show. We're only as good as our last performance or the last good thing we did. And so last week we talked about how your work doesn't have to define your worth. Your work doesn't have to define your worth. And in other words, it might be who you are, it might be what you do, but it's not all of who you are. And so there's a lot of rest when we realize that we don't constantly need to produce to prove something to God, to keep proving ourselves to other people, because we have a good Heavenly Father who has proved his great love for us. So this week is a little bit different. This week is I'm going to talk with you about an area that we don't typically think of needing rest from. And it's an area where I believe that some of us need rest most, though. And it's the area of we're talking about how Jesus wants to give us rest in the middle of our pain. How Jesus wants to give us rest in our pain, not from our pain, not keeping us from all pain, but how Jesus wants to give us rest in the middle of it. Now, I don't know about you, especially as a guy, like, I don't like to talk about pain. Like, talk about football pain, like, that's kind of like the, you know, that's kind of like the masculine version of that. But, you know, I don't like to talk about pain. I don't think anybody does. But it's one of those things where all of us have some kind of pain in our lives, difficulty, certain things that have happened. And sometimes that pain is a lot of different things. Sometimes it's physical pain, or maybe in some kind of way you have to deal with some kind of physical ailment. I know for me, I ended up having to have back surgery when I was 21. And there was a time where I was in so much pain that I couldn't stand or sit or lay down, couldn't get any comfort. Finally, surgery, God healed me through that. And so I was pain-free immediately. And it was like, man, I feel like I was born and that was my first life. I accepted Jesus and that was my rebirth, my new life. And then it's almost like God gave me like three lives. So it's like, man, if I'm a cat, like I got seven more to go, you know? Sometimes it's God gives us rest in our physical pain. Some of you may have just gone to the gym this week and you're like, yeah, I know that pain. Like, you know, I did some dumbbell curls and I got the pain going on. But also pain comes in other ways. Sometimes it's relational pain. Or maybe, you know, there's some relationship that's just been a pain in the neck, you know, and there's some kind of pain that comes from a relationship. Other times it's a little bit less obvious. Sometimes it's pain that's this emotional pain that we face from a circumstance or a situation that happened to us in the past. Maybe it happened to somebody around us, whether it was a loss of something or someone. And oftentimes we carry this pain around. It's almost like this baggage that we carry that people don't see, but it really guides kind of how we live. And the truth is, even though we don't like to talk about our pain, it's one of those things. It's like if when we open it up, it's almost like opening up, like an open, unhealed wound. You know, if you take a Band-Aid off of a nasty wound, you know, it's kind of messy in there, right? We don't like to do that. We don't like to talk about it. But the truth is, if we don't take time to deal with our pain, if we just ignore it, it doesn't just go away by just covering it up and just pretending it's not there. Because what happens so many times in our lives is that what pain takes time. It takes rest in order to find some healing. It takes really giving it a little bit of attention before we move on to our regular lives, or else it inevitably starts popping up in our daily life. Now, I experienced this not too long ago where my family and I were at the park and we're playing and we're having a good time. And there were just, you know, some normal kid annoyances, you know, going on in the playground. But I found myself, I kind of started getting a little bit angry and agitated at a level that didn't match the situation. Some of us have been there before where it's like, what in the world? You know, got in the car and my wife's like, what was that? You know, she always has a way of asking questions that, you know, she knows the answer to, but she wants me to say it out loud. It's kind of annoying, but it's like, you know, she's great. She helps me in a lot of ways with that. But anyway, it's one of those things where I realized, man, there's just some kind of pain that's there that I just didn't deal with. And here I am popping off at the people in my life that I love because I didn't deal with it. And so here's why we're talking about this today on Thanksgiving week. Why are we talking about pain? What in the world? Why did I come to church for pain? It's because pain is often that nagging barrier that can keep you from rest. It's oftentimes that nagging barrier that can keep you, even on a Thanksgiving week, it can keep you from being thankful and praising God because there's some kind of pain there that's nagging. Oftentimes, pain can become a barrier that can keep us from moving forward to where God wants us to go or to becoming the people God wants us to be. And so today we're going to look at two stories in the Bible where Jesus met people in the middle of their pain. And we're going to see how God does the same for us. So the first one The first one comes from Matthew chapter 12. And so if you have your Bibles or your smartphone or whatever else you have, to iPad, whatever, to read the scriptures, you can look at that. The words are also going to be on the screen. But let me set this up for you, because Matthew chapter 12, right before it is Matthew chapter 11. And the very end of Matthew chapter 11, this is when what we talked about last week. When Jesus says, hey, I want to teach you something. I want to show you something. I want to teach you how to live a little bit differently. And he says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I want to give you a burden and a yoke that's lighter than the burden that you carry on your own. And right after that, this is what Jesus says, or this is what it says in Matthew chapter 12. It says this, verse 1. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. You know? So this is kind of the context of the story we're going to read, but this is kind of interesting. Here they are. It's the Sabbath day. It's the rest day. It's the stop day. It's when God says, hey, I want you to stop from all your work so you can remember me. But here these Pharisees are. They're trying to catch Jesus. They're trying to catch his disciples. And you see how they kind of twisted the rules of religion, what was supposed to be such a blessing, the Sabbath. Like, hey, I just want to give you some rest in your life. And here they are being like the Sabbath police. You know, all these disciples did, it's not considered work to eat, you know, thanks be to God, right? But it's one of those things where if by picking off grain, it was considered work. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And so they took something that was like, don't do anything, to the far extreme, and they made what was such a blessing, and they tried to turn it into a burden. So you're going to see this a little bit longer. But here's a little bit later. Here's how the story continues, verse 9. It says this, skipping on verse 9. It says, going on from that place, that's Jesus, went into their synagogue. I just think that's funny that it says he went into their synagogue. It's almost like, I wonder if the purposes that they had were not the purposes God had. Jesus walked into their synagogue. I wonder what would happen today if Jesus were to walk into our church. Would it be his church or would it be our church, you know? It's just kind of an interesting thing. It says, as he walked into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they said to him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? It's interesting. You know, here they are being the grain police, you know, are you working? And now here they are, they see this guy who's in need, and they're like, hey, can you heal this guy on the Sabbath? You know, it just kind of shows these guys, these Pharisees, these religious leaders, they don't even care about this guy with a shriveled hand. Now, we don't know, you know, it's one of these things, all they saw was just the man's deformity and his pain, and they were wanting to use it as a tool and to manipulate that in order to, you know, to use it for their own purposes so they could trap Jesus. And so it's interesting because, you know, we don't know this guy's story. I mean, just think about that. I mean, he was known as the guy that people probably whispered like, oh, yeah, that's the guy with the deformed hand. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I know him, you know. It was just somebody that everybody would have known about. And so it's almost like the Pharisees are like, hey, let me use what's going on in your life and the pain that you deal with as a way to trap Jesus. See how messed up that is? And so it's interesting because we don't know a lot of if it was a physically painful thing to have a shriveled hand, but you can see there was a lot of emotional pain probably that had been built up. Like, he's known as that guy. He's that guy that has a deformity. And so the religious leaders were trying to put his pain on a platform to expose what was wrong in his life. Isn't that the way so many times people do in the world? Where there's something wrong in our life or something in our history, and oftentimes it's like, whoa, that disqualifies you from what God wants to do in your life. Sometimes that happens. But I want you to check out how Jesus answers. Hey, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Here's how Jesus answers, verse 11. He said to them, if any of you has a sheep. Now, isn't this funny how Jesus like answers questions? It's like, just say yes or no. Like, he starts telling a story about sheep. He says, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Now, this isn't a great story for sheep, but you get his point here, right? You know, it's a little down on the sheep. But he's talking about like, man, like when you help somebody out if they're in need. He says, therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And verse 13, here's what Jesus said. It said, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Now, before we just breeze through that and say, oh, that's nice that Jesus healed a man. Holy cow. Like, if you were there, like, wouldn't that have been amazing to see this guy who, like, his whole life probably had been like, this is the crutch. This is the thing. This is the pain in his life. It's like a visible, painful thing in his life. And all of a sudden, Jesus just, boom, immediately he heals him. I would have loved to see that. But these Pharisees, they're looking around and they didn't like seem to care. They didn't seem to kind of care what Jesus had done and say, oh, that's amazing. No. But it just shows who God is in the middle of our pain. See, when we encounter pain in our lives, or when Jesus encounters pain in our lives or pain in the world, he's not bothered by our pain. It shows us that he doesn't run away from our pain. It's not like, oh man, that's too much for me to handle in some kind of way. And so here's the first thing I want you to know when Jesus encounters pain in the world. Here's the first thing for today. It's that Jesus stands with you in the middle of your pain. Jesus stands with you in the middle of your pain. Now, this is one of the things where in so many ways, like how Jesus, no matter where Jesus is, no matter what Jesus does, Jesus is, we have a God that no matter how difficult things feel, no matter how difficult things get, no matter how much pain is in our life, we have a God that stands right there with us, that walks beside us. And in so many ways, when he went to the cross and when he lived on this earth, he was exposed to so much suffering and everything that we could be exposed to. So he knows what we're going through. And so we have a Savior who walks with us through every single thing that we're going through and everything in our lives. And so the thing is, Jesus looks at these guys, knowing all that. He's like walking. He's not afraid of the mess. And he says to the guys almost like, hey, guys, look, I know it's the Sabbath, but I've got a man here who's like a sheep who's fallen into a pit. And if it was your sheep, let's just talk sheep for a minute. If it was your sheep and it falls into a pit, even if it's on the Sabbath, wouldn't you pick it up? And they're like, yeah, I guess we would, you know. And I love how Jesus teaches because it just disarms people. And so Jesus, right in the middle of them, he reaches out his hand and heals the guy. Boom, right there. And it gets better. I don't know what that would have sounded like, or it would have been so cool to see that. But Jesus is giving this guy rest in the middle of his pain. Not just physical relief, not just like a cosmetic upgrade, right? But it's one of those things where Jesus is literally giving him healing and peace and rest in the middle of his emotional pain. It's almost like, hey, buddy, that thing that's been defining you for so long, that pain in your life that everybody else wants to point out, I want to change that. I want to bring you rest in the middle of that where it no longer has to define you. And so these religious people, you just kind of see them. They're kind of standing over there like, what's Jesus going to do? And you probably have their arms crossed and they're tapping their foot. And they're watching one of the greatest miracles they've probably ever seen in front of their eyes. This man got healed right in front of them. And they're stewing. They're mad. They are so angry that Jesus helped this guy out. But I love that Jesus didn't even care. It's almost like Jesus is saying to him, like, just get over it. Get over yourself. Because not even rules or cultural norms in our lives, in our world, are going to keep Jesus from doing what Jesus does. That Jesus is not going to stop caring for people. That Jesus is not going to stop running into the mess and helping people in the middle of their pain, because that's who Jesus is. And I think it's fitting that he brings healing and peace on the rest day. It's like, hey guys, it's not about not doing anything and getting that right. It's about how we can bless people and how we can rest in God in the middle of that. And so people often say, when we go through difficult times, people often say, well, where is God? Where is God in the middle of this pain? Sometimes we want to say, like, you know, why did something happen in our lives, right? Why did this happen? And oftentimes that question of why is so funny because we oftentimes place it on God. Why did you do this to me? Why did you allow this? And oftentimes there's so many things at play when bad things happen in our lives. I mean, so many times it's because we make a bad decision and we find ourselves in a pit because of a step that we took. That wasn't God. We took a step in the wrong way. Sometimes it's because we just live in a world that is fractured and broken. And as Romans said, is groaning to be restored. It's upside down. But other times, there's also, we have an enemy that seeks to kill and to steal and destroy when God came to give us life. And so there's all different things at play when we encounter bad things in our lives. But oftentimes what we ask is, well, where is God in the middle of this pain? Where was God? Where is he? And I think this just shows us that when we feel helpless and hopeless, when we feel discouraged and alone in our pain, and when other people are trying to point out our pain and use it for their pleasure or letting it define us, that Jesus is a God who runs into the mess. He runs into our pain, and he's willing to offer us rest. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand, because this is not the way it always plays out. It's not always like you pray a prayer, you seek the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, healing happens. I mean, in my own life, I've seen that healing, sometimes it happens immediately. Sometimes healing happens over time. It takes some rest. You know that if you've had surgery, it takes a few days, you know, to get back on your feet. Sometimes healing comes through surgery, through medical things. God works in the middle of that. I had my back surgery, and the day I woke up from back surgery, through this doctor's efforts, immediately I was pain-free. You know, so God can work in that. But God's ultimate healing comes as we go through the portal of death. It ultimately comes where God's final healing will always come for those who are in Jesus, that when we finally see him face to face, that everything in our lives that's always been turned upside down, that's been off kilter, or maybe that's fallen apart, that Jesus puts us right side up and he puts us together. As we go through that portal of death, he brings new life. So, it's one of those things where when we think about this, like Jesus is always there. He doesn't always fix all of our pain. He didn't promise that, hey, I've come to take away all the pain in your life. In fact, Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble. It's like, thanks, Jesus, right? But then he said this, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In other words, what he's saying is like, I'm not here to just keep you from trouble and keep you from pain and to put this fence around your life just because you said yes to me. I love you. But I promise you that I am bigger than any pain you go through, and that I am here to stand with you and to walk with you no matter what you face, that I'm bigger than all of that. And so here's the thing, and as Jesus gives us peace and his love in the middle of all that, C.S. Lewis wrote this book called The Problem of Pain. And it's not the most encouraging book, but anyway, The Problem of Pain. Here's one thing he said, C.S. Lewis said. He said, we can ignore our pleasure. Some of you know that. I drove by Dunkin' Donuts today. I didn't go to Dunkin' Donuts, but I went yesterday on the way to set up stuff here. But anyway, we can ignore our pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. And you know this really well. I mean, if you have kids, you know, if they're in pain in some kind of way, it's almost like they start tugging on your shirt like, daddy, 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 mommy. And it's like, what? You know, I've got a boo-boo. I've got something going on, right? Pain insists on being attended to. In fact, this past week, my wife had the privilege of taking both of our kids to the doctor for a checkup. And one of them needed a shot, and it was Kelsey. And so Kelsey is our spunky little girl. And so she, she's all happy, and she's, doing all this crazy gymnastics on the table and, doing all this stuff. Well, anyway, then it came time for her to get her shot. And this is Mandy telling me about the story and everything. She was brave enough to take her. And so anyway, in goes the shot. And Kelsey is one of those girls, one of those little girls that she's not like upset when she gets hurt. She's mad. You know, so the shot goes in and she starts screaming like, why did that happen? You know, I can't believe you did this to me, mother, kind of thing. And so she starts screaming, but the screams come from this place of pain. And it's almost like this, mommy, 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 please help me. You got to do something. You got to step in. Why did you let that happen? And this is what pain does. It insists on being attended to. And the same is true in our lives, where oftentimes pain in our lives can hold us back. Because it keeps screaming over and over. It can define us, and it can even, because we have to attend to it, it can make us lose focus of everything else going on in our lives. We got to deal with the pain. But then C.S. Lewis says this about where God is in the middle of it. He says this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but God shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so you know this, like we can be going on in our lives and things are just like, things are going well, things are going good. And it's almost like the voice of God is harder to hear in our lives. Because things are going so good and we just kind of think, oh, I got this. Things are going good. I've got control of this. And it's one of those things we're less aware of his presence and love, who's always with us all the time. It's like God is whispering to us when things are good. But when pain happens in our lives, when it's, you know, some kind of emotional or physical or relational pain, it's God's megaphone. There's two megaphones. It's God's megaphone to a world. You know, it's one of those things where when pain happens in our lives, we can see God more clearly. We can encounter God more evidently. It's one of those things where God makes himself so real. We can hear him and feel him and see him when we encounter pain. And so regardless of what caused it, it means that God can use your pain for the purpose of even drawing you closer to him. It can draw you closer to God. And so here's the second story. It's found in Mark chapter 1. And it's before we read it, Mark chapter 1, it's also in other places in the Gospels. But it's a story of this man who had leprosy. And leprosy is not something we normally like see today and stuff. So let me tell you a little bit about it, and then we'll read it so you understand what's going on. Leprosy was this disease that was this awful disease back in biblical times especially, where what it would do is it would cause this major discoloration of the skin. But not only would your skin start to look discolored, but all of a sudden these sores would start to form all over your body. Think about like shingles on steroids, you know? This is like super painful, not good. It's probably, you know, some nasty stuff coming out of this, so I'll get off of that. But anyway, but not only would it inflict a lot of pain, but then the next stage for some people is they would actually experience a little bit of nerve damage, where some of their extremities would start to become numb, like their arms and their feet and their legs. And so what would happen is, for people who had leprosy, they would oftentimes bump into a sword or something, and they could get very injured. But they wouldn't feel it, they wouldn't know, and so it would hurt themselves. Or it's almost like if they were to get close to a fire, they wouldn't feel that it was burning, you know? And so people could get really hurt, not by leprosy, but by not feeling their body. And so during that time, leprosy, people thought it was so contagious. And so they made anybody who had leprosy live in a leper colony. And basically they had to live all by themselves, all alone, while all the normal people did their life. And so if you were a leper, if you were to come in front of people, if you were to see somebody who was normal, you had to cover your mouth and shout at the top of your lungs, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And this is what defined you. Like, "I'm the man who's unclean, get away." And normal people did. And so in the middle of all this, as that people ran away, I want you to think about how painful and lonely, how difficult that was. And so it enters this story in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Here's what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, "A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed." You can imagine why. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Instantly, it says. Instantly. Now remember, God doesn't always heal instantly, but in this case, he does. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Now again, this would have been crazy to see this. This man who was so helpless in so many ways, Jesus comes and he brings him rest. But I want you to realize how the healing came. What was the engine of that healing? It was one of those things where it all started with this man who had leprosy, this man in his pain and in his need. He reached out to Jesus. That's what started this whole thing. He reached out to Jesus in the middle of his pain. And so in our lives, when bad things happen in our lives, we all have a choice. We can either choose to run toward God, or we can take those difficult, painful things and we can choose to run away from God. And oftentimes we run away from God because we kind of put the blame of like, "God, why did you make this happen?" And we don't realize that we have a good, good Father who loves us and is working in every aspect of our life to bring good things and to love us. But it's one of those things where so many people pull away and they miss the miracle of God in their lives. And so here's the second thing I want you to know about pain. The second thing is this, is that when pain comes in your life, we have to choose to run toward God, not away from God. Choose to run toward God, not away from God. I mean, here's how Jesus responds. The man's crying out, "Jesus, please help me. Please make me clean." Verse 41, this is how God responds to pain. It says this, "Moved with compassion." Jesus reached out. This is the way God always responds when difficult things happen in our life. Jesus was moved with compassion and with love, and Jesus reached out. And the same thing is true in our lives in the middle of our pain, that we have a God that in times of trouble, God is always there to respond with compassion, always reaching out to us in some kind of way. In fact, that's what Psalm 46, verse 1 says. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And so the thing is, it's like, remember, if your child gets hurt, you know, and they're saying, Daddy, 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 Mommy, 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 they're hurting in some kind of way. Man, as a parent, I don't know about you, but I do everything I can to like run to my child's needs and to try to help them out any way I can. And how much more, if we do the same thing, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is so perfectly loving and good to us, how much more will He reach out to us? But the story doesn't end there. Here's what it says. Here's how it continues. Verse 43. It says this. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Here's the warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been clean, you have been cleansed. So that was what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to go show yourself to a priest. And once they say, okay, you're good, you're no longer, you know, afflicted by leprosy, they'd say, okay, now go out and you can live with the normal people. You're free. This is why Jesus said that. But here's what the man did instead. Verse 45, he says, but the man went out and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. Poor Jesus. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. But I love this. Like, we can talk about, like, he didn't listen to Jesus, and he should have, like, been quiet when Jesus said to be quiet. But, man, this guy was just so overjoyed that, like, man, I was once lost, and now I've been found. I was once, like, excluded, and now I'm included. I was essentially dead in my life, and now I have new life. Like, I can't help but tell everybody about it. In fact, people are like, hey, dude, what are you doing here? Well, I thought you were in the leper colony, you know? And he's like, oh, I have to tell you about Jesus. And this is how God wants us to be in our lives. When God brings us through our pain, God wants us to be those people that never forget our pain, that we never forget where God has taken us. And we, in the middle of that, we say, let me tell you what Jesus has done in the middle of it. It becomes a megaphone to declare the glory of God. And so this man, here's the last thing I want to tell you about what we're to do with our pain. The third thing is this. I want to encourage you, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. Let God use it for His glory. See, everything in your life, everything in your story happens for a reason. It doesn't mean God causes it, but it means that God can take what you thought was so bad and He can turn it into something so great for His glory. It can become one of the greatest things that can demonstrate His strength in your life. In other words, Bob Tuttle once told me that your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. Your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. In fact, it's not usually your greatest hits in life, you know, the greatest things that ever happened in your life that's going to draw people closer to Jesus, that's going to help people in their need. The things that help people the most are oftentimes when you share stories of times when you fell. In times when you had some kind of pain in your life, you didn't know how you were going to make it, and how Jesus met you there in the middle of that. That's what causes people to lean in, and the glory of God starts to shout like a megaphone through your life. And so I want to encourage you as we prepare for this Thanksgiving time, as you think about maybe some pain in your life, to not let anything go wasted, to use your pain to bless other people. In order to do that, you got to be honest about what you've gone through. You got to be vulnerable enough to share the difficulties, but also to not forget to share what Jesus has done in the middle of that. And so be reminded that God stands with you in the middle of your pain, in the middle of difficulty, in the middle of difficult circumstances. And God is so loving. We have a God who has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future, and He promises to stand with us and to even use what seems so bad on the surface, and He can turn it into something useful to display His glory and strength in your life. Let's let God use that. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you work in our lives. And sometimes, God, it's weird things like pain. God, we thank you that in the middle of anything that we go through, God, that we have a God who loves us so much, who God, you love us and you have plans for our lives. But God, there's so many times that there's some kind of pain in our life that prevents us from moving forward, that maybe prevents us from giving, from praising you and resting in you, and even from stepping forward into where you want us to be. So God, I don't know what that is in our, in each individual's life today, but you do. You know those different areas of pain in all of our lives. Maybe the things that we've been dealing with, but maybe those areas that we've maybe been covering up and they keep popping up in our lives. God, I pray that today that you would give us rest in the middle of our pain, and you would show us how we can worship you and draw closer to you. But God, even in the middle of our pain, that we pray that we would be able to use it to display your strength and your glory in the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.